Welcome to Fantasy Football Weekly, a production of iHeartRadio.
Time now for Fantasy Football Weekly from iHeartRadio, your weekly source for the nation's best fantasy speculation and advice. Now, along with the guys from Fanball.com, here's the host for Fantasy Football Weekly, Paul Charchian.
It is time for America's longest-running fantasy show, Fantasy Football Weekly, in our iHeartRadio production. I am your host, Paul Charchian from Fanball.com. My co-hosts today are Brian Johnson and Scott Fish. Hello, gentlemen.
What's going on, Charch?
It's an injury plague week four. That's what's going on.
Yeah.
So this is going to be one of those times where we're going to be recommending guys we may not even talk about.
Sean Culkin.
Sean Culkin. Get him in your lineup, right?
Don't call him Macaulay.
It's Macaulay's cousin, though.
No, it's not.
Yeah, I just made that up.
Well, I would believe it. Teams are so thin right now that, they call him Macaulay's cousin.
Over the course of today, we're going to break down every matchup, fantasy style. As always, we don't tell you which team will win. We tell you which players will help your fantasy team win. You'll hear letter grades on every meaningful fantasy player, and we'd like to give you the rationale behind it. You know, it's not just that this guy's a B. Here's why he gets a B grade, and you can decide if you want to go along with us or not. Later on, we'll answer three tough questions. We'll also give you nine different players upon whom you can take a chance. These are guys that are not normally startable, and in many cases are on the waiver wire that you can pick up and play this week. And we'll also jump into a time machine to identify the players we'll be looking for on the waiver wire this week that everybody else is going to be trying to pick up next week, but blammo, already on your roster, you already got them. We've established in earlier shows, our time machine goes blammo. That's the sound. That's the time machine sound.
It's a very futuristic sound.
Blammo?
No.
Not really.
It's like a Batman, like old school Batman.
It is. You're right.
Like
that's
bubble.
A good point.
Yeah.
Yeah. But when you try to go pick these guys up and they're already in a roster, it feels like a Batman punch to the gut. Somebody else has already beaten you to that guy.
Mm.
We begin with our matchups. First one, out of the gate. Carolina taking on Houston. Scott, on the Carolina side, Kyle Allen, four touchdowns last week. He's got six touchdowns and two starts, no interceptions.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people feeling like he might be the better of the two quarterbacks for the Panthers. What do you think he does against Houston this week?
Well, he got a Week 17 matchup for one of those, and he got Arizona's defense for the other
that
one.
That helps.
So that is going to help you look good. Mentioned last week when talking about Houston, this secondary has an aging vet, a guy they picked up in free agency just to, after week one, and a rookie. It's actually still another decent matchup. The Texans are allowing 300 yards per game and multiple touchdowns in two of the three games. I still have a B grade on Kyle Allen. I think Houston's D can get beat, and they're not pressuring like they used to.
Yeah, for sure. Remember when J.J. Watt was something other than just a guy you saw on commercials?
Right.
Man, I'll watch whole games, and his name will come up like two times, and it's mostly because the announcers are gushing over how great he is.
Mm-hmm.
And then the whole game, I'm waiting for him to make a play.
Yeah.
We'll get to Derek Watt of L.A., the Chargers, later. He's a more relevant Watt than J.J. right now.
Ooh,
TJ, definitely.
Yeah.
How about James Watt?
In the passing game.
Father of the steam engine.
Wow.
I think he's more relevant.
Deep diving right now. DJ Moore, I'm not afraid. He only had two targets last week, but he did have eight in the game last year with Kyle Allen. I think it's just what the defense gave them last week. I mentioned last week how I thought Samuel's deep speed could get a score, and it did.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This matchup, I think, is a little better for Moore. I don't think that first game means a whole lot. He's going to be matched mostly on Lonnie Johnson, making his third career start.
Yeah.
That should be a good day for Moore. I'm giving him a B. I'm also giving Samuel a B, though, as well. I think he can beat Jonathan Joseph. Still good, but he's getting up there. I think he can beat Jonathan Joseph. He grabbed five of his seven targets from Allen last week. Allen has trust in him.
Yeah.
I like both of them with B grades.
All right.
Olsen, it's hard not to love this resurgence.
Yeah, I'm happy for the guy.
Yeah.
I think we all wrote him off as dead, but Greg Olsen's back.
Yeah, exactly. And Kyle Allen looking for him in the red zone is nice. 75 yards, two touchdowns last week, 1 week after a 110-yard game. Arizona. Mm-hmm. Oh, man, this is crazy that it's a good matchup. It's not a good matchup. Excuse me. Houston is top five, but this resurgence of Greg Olsen is giving him a C grade just because Kyle Allen seems to like him in the red zone.
Sure.
McCaffrey, A grade. Houston could be the best defense in the world, and I'm still giving McCaffrey an A grade. His upside is 200 yards in a lot of games.
Well, he's got a 180 yard game and a 200 yard game this year. And you know, between those two was a meh outing. Yeah. But
and Christian McCaffrey gets all the running back touches, and Houston is giving up the second most receptions and over 137 total yards per game to running backs. So A grade for McCaffrey. On the other side, Watson, I'm giving him a B grade here. He has 8 total touchdowns in three weeks, including 2 with his legs. The most passing yards that the Panthers have allowed is only this year is 208, and haven't allowed over 250 in their last 8 games. And in that 8-game stretch, only 3 multi-touchdown games. But I think that it's going to turn up for Watson here. He's a little too good to... A lot of the quarterbacks they've faced in that span weren't Deshaun Watson quality. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to give him a... Can I give him a B minus?
No. Give him a B.
I'll get.
You were happy with a B 30 seconds ago.
All right, I'll give him a B.
Thank you.
Hopkins gets an A. He's going to get a healthy dose of James Bradbury, who is not as good as Ramsey or Hayward. Mm-hmm. Bradbury's had ups and downs over his career, but Hopkins was able to catch 5+ passes on each of those other two guys. He should be fine against Bradbury. Will Fuller, I had firmly on the bench, but he has 7 targets in each of the last 2 games. Dante Jackson should have been a tough matchup for him because Dante Jackson can run with Will Fuller. Dante Jackson is likely out for this one. This is one where you watch. If Dante Jackson doesn't play, Fuller can get in your lineup as a C grade. If he does, I'm benching Fuller.
I think he's more than a C grade. And, you know, you're waiting for, you know, as we all know, it only takes one catch for Will Fuller.
That's true.
Rip off the long one. And Dante Jackson himself has already given up 2 touchdowns. So even if he goes, I kind of liked him in this matchup anyway.
Okay.
So I like him more than you do.
Stick him in anyway.
By the way, he's practically free in Fanball scoring for Will Fuller. He could be a very good DFS play.
Stills and QT are splitting the slot snaps. I'm keeping them on the bench. And Hyde, after 8.3 yards per carry in game one, he had 3.3 yards per carry over the last 2 games. He was saved by a touchdown last week. Carolina's middle of the pack. They've allowed some good games to Brown, Gurley, Peyton Barber, Dave Johnson. So I'm going to give him a C grade, but I don't love it.
All right, that's the end of that. Cincinnati taking on the Pittsburgh Steelers. It's been a dismal year for Joe Mixon, without a doubt. It looked a little better, I thought, last week. Offensive line getting a little healthier. What do you think about him against what's really a pretty good Pittsburgh run defense?
Yeah, well, they haven't been that good. They've allowed the most total yards to running backs per game at 199.
All right, I take it back.
Big time, George. But you were right. Mixon's been a major dud, and even more concerning, he was banged up earlier in the year, but he hasn't been on the field for more than 60% of the snaps in any game. That's not bell cow status.
It's the injury. It's the injury, and it's the line.
But I'm betting on a bounce back here for Mixon. As I said, 199 combo yards per game the Steelers are allowing to opposing running backs. They've also allowed the third most catches to running backs. Of course, Gio Bernard is a threat in that category, which makes him a viable dart throw in PPR leagues. But I'm giving Mixon a B. He's going to bounce back in this game, I hope, as a Bengals fan.
Yeah.
Moving over to the receivers, Tyler Boyd gets a B as well. Boyd is 4th in targets among all wide receivers and sets up nicely against the Steelers, who have allowed at least 1 wide receiver touchdown in every game. Fellow slot receivers Julian Edelman, Tyler Lockett, and Dante Pettis all fared well against Pittsburgh. And for what it's worth, Boyd scored twice in his lone meeting with Pittsburgh last year. I do believe A.J. Green was healthy, but still. But they have John Ross, the Bengals do, but he gets a C. Always a boom or bust play, but I'm leaning boom in this one. Pittsburgh has allowed 15 completions of 20-plus yards already.
God,
so that plays into that favor.
That's a lot.
That's nuts. That's a season for some secondaries.
Yep. Wow.
And, you know, Ross had 2 great weeks. And last week he was shut down by Tre'Davious White, understandably. He's one of the better shadow corners in the league these days. So,
we'll talk more about him later.
Yep, I'm giving John Ross a C. I do have to mention Auden Tate, only because he's 6'5", 230, and looked pretty good last week. Mm-hmm. 88 yards against the Bills, but he's on the bench for now.
But keep your eye on Auden Tate. All right.
And Tyler Eifert gets a C, too. This will be his first game against the Steelers since 2016.
Hmm.
3 years since he's faced the Steelers. He ran 3 times the pass routes than C.J. Uzoma last week, which was very encouraging. And Will Disley, George Kittle, both good games. Disley had a great game against the Steelers.
He did.
Eifert is viable with a C. And that gives Andy Dalton a C. Almost might take a chance on me runner-up. And real quick, multiple touchdown passes in his last three against Pittsburgh. So he is viable, especially in two quarterback leagues. Over to Pittsburgh, James Conner, another major disappointment at the running back position. But yeah, this is a bounce-back spot for him, obviously.
It is.
Since he gets an easy A. I won't even go into it. You're starting James Conner with confidence this week, finally. So he gets an A, as does Juju. Juju Smith-Schuster, of course. Bengals might be without their starting nickel corner, B.W. Webb, who's actually good at football, one of the rare players on the defensive side, which would leave Darius Phillips and or Tony McCray to cover the slot. They are scrubs, needless to say. So easy A for Juju. Cole Beasley caught 8 balls out of the slot last week, so keep that in mind for Juju. And James Washington, Diontae Johnson, I'll give them both a C. The Bengals' boundary corners are struggling big time. Mm-hmm. Outside of Buffalo's wideouts, William Jackson and Dre Kirkpatrick have allowed 3 touchdowns to wideouts already. Diontae has out-targeted Washington over the last 2 weeks, so I would lean his way if I had to pick one. But they're both dart throws with the C grade, as is Vance McDonald, if he plays. He's questionable with a shoulder injury. Mike Tomlin says he's optimistic he'll play.
Xavier Brindle's dead.
They traded for Nick Vinette.
Yes, they did.
So let's put it this way. It's a good matchup. He gets a C if he plays, since he has allowed 50-plus yards to at least to the last two tight ends they faced. One was rookie Dawson Knox, who actually scored a touchdown for Buffalo.
Yeah.
But if you're banking on McDonald, this is a Monday night game, by the way.
I know.
Normally, we don't leave
it's
with a Monday
huge
night
problem.
Game.
Yeah.
I don't know if I mentioned that yet. So you better add Nick Vinette if you're banking on Vance McDonald
right,
Monday night.
Right, because you got to be able to pivot without dropping McDonald, which is a problem.
And then, I liked, including Juju, of course. So I give Mason Rudolph a C. I like a lot of the Pittsburgh receivers.
Rudolph looked so bad last year.
You're counting a lot on
the Bengals' defense really bad.
But Juju bailed him out, right?
And well, this is on a one game, catch.
I know, but Juju's probably going to bail him out twice in this game.
Juju's
going to have a monster game.
I hope you're right.
He's a cheap DFS option on Fanball and maybe a QB2. Yeah, Rudolph in Superflex leagues. But yeah, he's really on the bench in standard.
Oof. Cleveland takes on Baltimore. Let's start on the Cleveland side where Nick Chubb gets a B grade against a tough Baltimore defense. He's averaging 24 carries and targets together, which is good. No lack of volume here for Nick Chubb. But that's about the only good news I've got for you. The Ravens held David Johnson to 14 yards earlier this year. Last week, Darrell Williams and LeSean McCoy were able to get a lot done. They put up 190 total yards between them. But the Chiefs are just such an outlier offense. It's hard to draw any comparisons to the Chiefs and then the Browns. So I don't know that it even matters here. Only one back has topped 100 yards against Baltimore in their last 27 games. One 100-yard rusher against Baltimore.
Wow.
That's it. Chubb ran for 20 yards against Baltimore last year as the Browns starter. So we'll put him somewhere between 20 and 100 yards in this one. And a B grade, and we're really hoping for a touchdown for Nick Chubb. Into the passing game, where I've only got a couple of starters for you. Baker Mayfield with just a C grade. He's got to be fantasy football's most disappointing quarterback, right? Nobody else is better. Nobody else has been more disappointed.
That whole Cleveland offense was a whiff on my part. I thought they
well, and you and everybody else got tough matchup on the road in Baltimore. Yes, Patrick Mahomes humbled the Ravens last week, but that's Patrick Mahomes, and you can't compare him to anybody else. Prior to the Chiefs game, the Ravens had allowed 0 or 1 passing touchdown in 7 of the previous 9 games. I think you're likely looking at a 1-touchdown effort for Mayfield here. And then a B grade for Odell Beckham, who's getting tons of targets, 30 already. But get this, 30 targets, 19 receptions for Odell Beckham. That's it. That stinks. And I think most of that is on Baker Mayfield just misfiring.
Which is crazy because he's such an accurate quarterback.
Yeah, historically,
this year it's different right now.
Worryingly, is that a word? Worryingly.
it is now.
Odell Beckham has garnered 1 red zone target this year. One. He's been targeted 30 times, only once in the red zone. Come on. Odell runs from the outside where cornerbacks Marlon Humphrey and Anthony Averett wait. Cleveland would be wise to put Odell opposite Averett, who's yielded 90 yards per game. That's 4th most among all cornerbacks, and Averett's given up 2 scores already. That is a winnable matchup for Odell, so he is a B start. Jarvis Landry's on the bench. 2 career touchdowns with Baker Mayfield at the helm. That's it. for Jarvis Landry. And he's somehow turned 23 targets into just 10 catches this year. Tough matchup against a good slot corner, Brandon Carr. Jarvis Landry, you're on the bench.
I dropped him in a league.
I don't blame you.
No qualms. That was like a couple weeks ago. Yeah, and, I saw it coming.
And I'm sure people are like, oh, Jarvis Landry. Yeah. You sabotage dropped Jarvis Landry. Others picked him up, probably started him, and they're getting nothing now.
Listen, all of y'all.
Let's go to the Baltimore side. Mark Ingram's been great. And in two meetings with Cleveland last year, the combined Ravens running backs, two meetings. So I'm going to slow this down to make sure people get it. Two meetings with Cleveland last year, the combined Ravens running backs, 340 rushing yards.
I'm struggling to remember who they were. Oh, it was Gus Edwards.
Gus Edwards in there.
Lamar Jackson.
Running backs. Just running backs.
Okay, wow.
The guinea pig shaver.
340 total
yards. Kenneth Dixon? Is that your guy? Kenneth, or no, it was Buck Allen.
Buck Allen was in there, too.
Yeah.
Oh. He did shave my guinea pig. Here comes Ingram with his 6 yards per carry, almost two touchdowns per game. No-brainer. A grade for him. Lamar Jackson also an A grade. He faced Cleveland once last year and ran for 90 yards and two touchdowns. Brown's secondary is a wreck with injury. You're going to want to watch the status of Greedy Williams, Morgan Burnett, Denzel Ward. They're all shaping up as game-time decisions. Pay special attention to Greedy Williams and Denzel Ward, the fastest set of outside corners in probably the entire league. If those guys do play, they can use their speed to neutralize Marquise Brown and Miles Boykin. And if they don't go, I really like Marquise Brown and Miles Boykin. So let's talk about those guys. So for Marquise Brown, again, Greedy Williams, Denzel Ward, if they're in the game, I got Marquise Brown at more like a C level. If they're out of this game, then I like Marquise Brown at an A level against backup cornerbacks.
Right.
And then also, if they're out, Miles Boykin as a dart throw makes sense. Mark Andrews, still not practicing with a foot injury, but should play here.
He did say today that he was very near 100%.
Yeah. And the only good tight end to face the Browns so far this year, Delanie Walker, rocked him for 2 scores. Last thing I'll mention, you need a deep sleeper at running back. Gus Edwards getting 22 snaps and 10 touches a game, and that might be enough to make Edwards a potential sleeper against a Browns team that they just ran through last year.
People need warm bodies at running back more than ever.
They do.
They really
now
do.
More than ever.
And Jay Ajayi just announced all 32 teams. He's ready to come back. So,
well, what does that even mean, announced to 32 teams? I tweeted an hour ago. Is that an announcement to 32
yes.
teams?
Yes, it is. I'm sure his agent contacted them, and the Giants will be in touch shortly.
Yeah, Ajayi probably retweeted his own tweet saying that. It still has no likes on it.
No. Jay Ajayi, by the way, stinks.
Yeah.
He wasn't good before all the knee problems.
Anyway. I went to bat for him. Fish certainly went to bat for him.
Did.
But yeah,
we're done. Yeah. Right? I mean, all right. Let's just the best case scenario for Jay Ajayi is ends up with the Giants, and I'm still not very interested.
Right.
Everything Charge is available at fanball.com by going to fanball.com/charge. You get instant access to my free weekly rankings, my free $1,000 weekly contest, all of our podcasts, and it's your portal to Guillotine Leagues. We are still forming Guillotine Leagues at fanball.com/charge. Coming up next, it's a segment we call Take a Chance on Me. 9 players who would not normally start, but guys you can start this week. You're listening to Fantasy Football Weekly. Football Weekly returns, courtesy of iHeartRadio. I am Paul Charchi, and my Twitter account is at Paul Charchian, which makes sense. Brian Johnson is at BTXJ. Scott Fish is at ScottFish24. These are 9 players not normally in your starting lineup. We call it Take a Chance on Me. Many of these guys available on the waiver wire, and it is, as always, a very, very royalty-free version of Take a Chance on Me. When these guys pay out, you don't have to pay us anything. You get to keep all the money in the royalty-free version of Take a Chance on Me. We begin at the quarterback position. Brian, who you got?
I can sort of taste a little bit of vomit coming up, but I'm still taking Marcus Mariota at Atlanta.
Wow.
The Falcons just suffered another huge loss to their defense. Safety Keanu Neal tore his Achilles for the 2nd straight season, sadly for him.
Yep.
And when he went down last year, they got consistently shredded by anybody.
Yeah. Especially pass catching.
He went down with the injury, the look on his face was a look of recognition. I'm looking at him going, oh, he's had this before. He knows exactly what this is. I felt bad for him.
They say it's like a drape getting pulled up or something. Well, I don't want to think about it. But anyway, the trend started already. Jacoby Brissett went for 3, 10, and 2 after Neal went down. Mm-hmm. The Falcons have also allowed 2 rushing touchdowns to quarterbacks so far this season. Mariota is 3rd in rushing yards among quarterbacks so far, averaging 6.4 yards per carry. And despite a couple down weeks, I think 300 total yards and 2 total touchdowns is a safe floor and the highest second over-under of the week.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right.
Let's go.
I'd be even more impressed if you told people to go with Corey Davis. Remember when he was a thing?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
All right, let's go with your quarterback, Scott.
I am going with Washington QB TBD.
TBD.
No, it sounds like Keenum is back and ready to go. They're saying he's going to get the start. So I'm lighting him back up as my take a chance on me. The Giants are allowing 350 yards passing and 3 touchdowns per game to opposing quarterbacks.
It's unreal.
As bad as Keenum has looked, he's still racked up multiple touchdowns in every game and 330 or more yards in 2 of those. And this isn't a ball hawking defense. You worry about those turnovers with Keenum. They only intercepted Jameis Winston once, which is that's not ball hawking at all.
No. Now, worry on Keenum is what happens first drive or second drive, he throws a pick. That might be it.
Yeah,
that's your worry. I mean, upside is it's a Giants defense that can easily give up, 404.
I think he's
your downside
be fine
is Keenum doesn't even finish the game.
I think he's going to be fine in this one. And it sounds like Colt McCoy is ready to go now too, so he'll be backing up.
How about that? The aforementioned Jacoby Brissett is my take a chance on me quarterback as he goes up against Oakland, coming off the best game of his career last week, and that momentum should carry forward against a wobbly Oakland secondary, even without T.Y. Hilton. Probably does not play in this one. I don't care. The Raiders are allowing a completion percentage of 69%. That's 8th worst.
Nice.
And Brissett has topped 75% twice in 3 games. Even without Hilton, give me Paris Campbell. I'll go to war with Paris Campbell, Chester Rogers, and Zach Pascal as the Colts starting wideouts if I have to against Oakland because they're that bad. Let's go to the running back position. Brian, who you got?
I got old Yeller, T.J. Yeldon of Buffalo. Actually, pretty young. He's only 25 years old. Yeah. But they're at home against New England. So get this: Buffalo is 3-0 at home, 7-point underdogs. it's to the Patriots.
They should not be 7-point underdogs.
That's a lot of points.
We'll talk more about that matchup.
Yeah, they're laying a lot of points. But T.J. got. We're assuming Devin Singletary is out. By the way, we'll talk more about this game. Yeah. But he is likely to not come back this week.
As we'll talk about it. Right. We'll talk about it more in the matchup anyway. But even if he does come back, it's a tough matchup.
Yeah, this is a game script for Yeldon without a doubt, and it's been that way for Buffalo backs against New England for years. Last year, Buffalo backs totaled 13 catches across 2 games. And with the Patriots likely to focus on stopping Allen's legs and John Brown's speed, 5 to 6 catches for Yeldon should be a lock. He had 8 carries last week, 2 catches. I'm seeing 10 to 12 touches in PPR leagues. I'm playing him.
Okay, sounds good. Your running back, Scott.
I'm going with Adrian Peterson. He just got done facing 3 top 10 defenses in the Bears, Eagles, and Cowboys. Mm. Now he gets a Giants defense that is bottom 6, and they've allowed 26 rush attempts, not touches, rush attempts.
Dang.
Per game.
Wow.
26, 26, and 27, I believe, in the 3 games. And their starting middle linebacker, Alec Ogletree, out for this one. So I think this is lining up for an actual Adrian Peterson decent game.
I do too.
And then you probably won't use him much for the rest of the season. But here's the week for
this
you.
This is it. If not now, when for Adrian Peterson? Seriously. Why, if you're not starting him here, why is he on your roster?
A bottom 6 D rush D without their middle linebacker.
I was team Peyton Barber, and I still kind of am team Peyton Barber, but I'm not so stubborn that I won't acknowledge that Jones has got just more work, more yards, more attempts, and mostly looked better than Peyton Barber. Ooh, it hurts. There's a little bit of caution here. Jones has had 2 quality outings. He still only played like 30% of the offensive snaps in the 2 games in which Jones got a bunch of carries. But I like the game script here against the Rams. Now, the Rams are an elite pass defense, but they have allowed at least 100 rushing yards and or a touchdown to a running back in 9 of their last 12 games, obviously going back to last year. Jones got those 2 quality starts already this year. I'm going to try him for 1 more, and now watch, it's going to be the Peyton Barber show.
Of course.
But we'll try Ronald Jones in this one.
Or Dare Ogunbowale. Ogunbowale. Did I say that right, Fish?
Pretty close. Ogunbowale.
Ogunbowale.
Ogunbowale. Ogunbowale.
Ogunbonos.
All right, let's go to the running, receiver, wide receiver position.
Well, you said it's funny I didn't take Corey Davis. I am going to take a Titan receiver, but it's not Corey Davis.
Right.
It's not A.J. Brown. Okay. It's Adam Humphries.
Ooh.
Actually, one of my sleepers from the preseason, too, by the way.
Yes,
very slow start.
By the way, yeah, very slow start.
Last week,
I don't want to brag about that.
6 catches on 9 targets. Looked pretty good. And he's going to look good this week against Atlanta. And it's all about how this matchup lays out on paper. Here are the opposing slot receivers against the Falcons so far this year. Adam Thielen, 3 catches, 43 yards, and a touchdown on just 3 targets. Remember, the Vikings threw the ball 10 times in that game. Next week, Nelson Aguilar, 8 for 107 in a touchdown on 10 targets.
Yeah, missing like every other receiver, but still, okay.
Well, the Titans are missing receivers, too. They have Corey Davis and A.J. Brown on the outside. So, last week, T.Y. Hilton and Zach Pascal both scored from the slot, and overall, Colts receivers were 8 for 8 for 59 yards and those 2 touchdowns. So, Adam Humphries all day.
All right. Scott, who's your take a chance for me receiver?
I'm going with Will Dissly. This feels like cheating almost, because the Arizona Cardinals are just terrible against tight ends. TJ Hockenson, 6 for 131 in a touchdown. Mark Andrews, 8 for 112 in a touchdown. Greg Olsen, 6 for 75 in 2 touchdowns. Hayden Hurst also scored. The Arizona Cardinals are allowing almost twice as many PPR fantasy points as the second worst team against tight ends.
That's unbelievable.
It's insane how bad they are.
I've got Marvin Jones going up against the Chiefs. It's taken a while for Marvin Jones to get comfortable coming off of last year's knee injury, but it looks like he's back on track, and he's led the team in targets, yards, and air yards last week. Juicy matchup with the Chiefs. They're perennially lousy secondary. He goes up against Breshad Breeland or Charvarius Ward on the outside, and both guys are slow. Now, Marvin Jones is not like track star speed fast, but his whole deal has been downfield separation. That's the definition of his career. He can get it here. He only needs one long reception. The Lions are going to be playing from behind, and Detroit's going to be passing regularly. Kansas City seeing the 8th most passes in the league. Marvin Jones. Was he your take a chance on me guy last week, or did you just like him last week, Brian?
I wasn't on the show last week.
Oh, you weren't. It was somebody else.
I was thinking, I remember years ago, John Tuvey used to be on the show.
Oh, yeah. That's how he came up last week. Yeah, he had the 4 touchdown.
I was just listening back in those days.
That was the all-time great take a chance on me hit of all of the 25-year history of the show. Was the 4 touchdown game that
incredible.
Marvin Jones had? Yeah, it was
with the Bengals, of course, back in the day.
Was it? Yeah, I think
he was a Bengal.
Chargers taking on the Miami Dolphins. Scott, for the Chargers, it's a lot of shifting sands here because we have so many players that are out. Hunter Henry's out. Mike Williams is out. Travis Benjamin is out, and Justin Jackson is out.
Yeah. It's pretty crazy, but whatever's left in there, get in your lineups. The Dolphins are 31st against quarterbacks, 28th against wide receivers, 9th most passing yards allowed, the most touchdowns allowed to quarterbacks, 4 per game.
Which is unreal.
2nd most wide receiver touchdowns allowed. Oh, and the running game, most rushing attempts, most rushing yards, 2nd most rushing touchdowns, the most receiving touchdowns to running backs, the most total yards allowed to running backs. They're bad everywhere. Eckler should be a top 5 back without even trying this week with Justin Jackson.
And I think they're going to try a lot, actually.
Yeah.
So imagine you're the Chargers. And you don't have, you know, you've got Justin Jackson out. Melvin Gordon just joined the team. And you know that Gordon's going to get a fair amount of work going forward. We'll talk more about it in detail in a minute. Why not just run Eckler for the whole game and not even risk Rivers, who doesn't have any of his starting receivers other than Keenan Allen to throw to?
I do think you still give Keenan Allen an A grade here. He got 15 targets last week with Hunter Henry out, so I think that he's still an A play, but it's all Eckler, it's all Allen. There are sneaky people trying to get Sean Culkin at tight end. Tremaine Pope, former Seahawk, I believe. He'll be backing up Eckler. Those are sneaky plays.
It's
probably too cute, but A grades on the players that you would play from the Chargers. On the Miami side, Preston Williams, I'm giving a C grade. I kind of want to give him a B grade with Casey Hayward possibly out as well. Preston Williams has 12 targets in every single game he's played with Josh Rosen.
How about that? All one of them? Okay.
But he's fourth in the NFL in red zone targets, and he's had double-digit fantasy points every single week in PPR, at least.
I've got Preston Williams in a bunch of leagues.
Yeah, get him in there. That's it.
You've probably heard us talking about the Guillotine League, the hottest new format in fantasy sports. Each week, the low-scoring team gets cut from the league, and their entire roster goes to the waiver wire, and all the remaining teams get to bid on those guys. It's awesome fun, and we're still creating Guillotine Leagues. You can join one or learn more by going to guillotineleague.com, powered by fanball.com. Coming up next on Fantasy Football Weekly, we will break down more matchups for you, including New England at Buffalo, a tricky matchup for many of your Patriots. You don't want to set your lineup until you listen to what comes next. Listening to Fantasy Football Weekly, an iHeartRadio production. I am Paul Charchi, and my co-hosts are Scott Fish and Brian Johnson from fanball.com. You can hear us over the air on many stations around the country, maybe even right now. And this show is also a podcast available every Friday on all major podcasting platforms, including the number one destination for podcasts, the iHeartRadio app. You normally start all your Patriots in pretty much every game, but this one feels like a trap to me. At Buffalo, Buffalo is a damn fine pass defense in particular. Tell me what you think about the passing game for New England. Tom Brady, Edelman, Gordon, those guys.
All right, let's just start with Brady. He's getting a C, and he's borderline benchable. I'd be looking elsewhere. I think I like all of our Taycom quarterbacks more than Brady this week. In his last four games against Buffalo, 3 touchdowns, 4 picks, too, by the way. And that secondary is probably better than it's been in those previous 4 games. And Buffalo has held each opposing quarterback to just 1 passing touchdown this season. That said, those were Sam Darnold, Eli Manning, and Andy Dalton. But still, over their last 18 games, only 1 quarterback has had a top 10 finish against the Bills, going back to last year, of course. And that was some guy named Andrew Luck. You remember him?
I remember, not even in the league anymore.
Yeah, he used to play. 2 touchdowns is the absolute ceiling for Brady. And so,
well, because it's 17 of the last 19 quarterbacks have face the Bills, 0 or 1 touchdown.
Yeah,
that's
so,
it.
I'll give him a C because it's Tom Brady, but again, look elsewhere if you can. I would not fault you at all. Speak to his receivers real quick. Julian Edelman was knocked out of last week's game with a chest injury, returned to practice in a limited fashion this week. You always got to expect the Patriots to play. It seems like none of them are rarely ever scratched. So I'll give him a B, assuming he goes. He has scored or topped 100 yards in 3 straight against Buffalo. And slot receivers versus the Bills this year have fared pretty well. Jameson Crowder had 14 catches for 99 yards. T.J. Jones of the Giants scored a touchdown. And Tyler Boyd was serviceable, was 6 for 67 last week.
Yeah, that's the weak part of the Bills secondary is the slot. And I like Edelman better than any of the other receivers.
The strongest part of their secondary, possibly the strongest, best cornerback in the league, and yes, Jalen Ramsey, that does include you, is Tre'Davious White, who will be shadowing Josh Gordon all game long, likely. So Gordon, when on his game, is nearly impossible to cover, so I'll give him a C, but temper your expectations, because Tre'Davious White shuts people down, and he'll be all over Gordon all game. And Philip Dorsett has caught 5 of Tom Brady's last 9 touchdown passes, going back to last year's playoffs.
How about that?
But this is a bench game for him. But he's a guy who should be on roster.
Sure.
Yeah, if he's out there on your waiver wire, I would go grab him immediately. Now let's talk about the running backs, unfortunately. We'll start with Charge's boy, Sony. What have you dubbed Sony Michelle Charge?
Sony Walkman. When you average 1 yard per carry, you are walking, man. Well, he's walking the line of scrimmage.
Against anyone,
Sony Walkman,
not, and against anyone not donning a Dolphins uniform, he's averaging 1 yard per carry.
Yeah, well, but in 2 out of 3 games, 1 yard per carry. Come on, Sony Walkman.
So he's on the bench. He's on the bench. Buffalo has allowed 1 rushing touchdown to running backs this year, and that went to Saquon Barkley when he was healthy, obviously. And Buffalo held Le'Veon Bell and Joe Mixon under a combined 3.8 yards per carry. And you basically need a goal line plunge from Michelle, and I'm just not banking on that this week against Buffalo. And then over to the running backs, James White and Rex Burkhead. I'll give them both a C in PPR. Burkhead, I'll give him a C in standard, too. He looks like the best running back on the team. The Patriots lost fullback James Devlin for the season, and they don't really have a backup from what I've heard, so they're just not going to roll with a fullback anymore. So that'll open up more opportunities for White and Burkhead. Buffalo has allowed 2 receiving touchdowns so far to running backs, and again, Burkhead looks better than White, so I would start him over White in this game. Over to the Buffalo side, not nearly as much to talk about here. Sorry, I'm getting my notes in order.
It's okay.
Well, Devin Singletary, as we mentioned, he won't play. We're assuming he won't play. Very unlikely to play. That puts Frank Gore at a C grade if Singletary sits. The Patriots have allowed 101 rushing yards to running backs all year. Actually, that's really bad. That's including guys like James Conner, Le'Veon Bell.
I've changed my mind. I'm benching Gore. Yeah, please.
I'm benching Gore, and that's why TJ Yeldon was my take a chance on me running back.
Through the air.
In PPR leagues. In standard, you're not going to go there with Yeldon. Only in PPR. No. And then John Brown is on the bench. Stephon Gilmore, maybe the best cornerback in the league as well, will be shadowing Brown. Right. So he's on the bench. And I'll give Josh Allen a C just because the Patriots have allowed nearly 7 yards per carry to running backs last year, which is a league high. And they're, Allen's a mobile quarterback, so I'm going to give him a C, even though he hasn't done much against New England. It's only been one game, though. He hasn't played 2.
Minnesota takes on the Bears. It's the league's number one rushing offense against arguably the league's best rushing defense. Something's got to give. In the 2 Bears games last year with the Vikings, Dalvin Cook, 51 total yards. That's it, including 12 yards at Soldier Field last year. But this is a whole different Vikings offense that is dedicated to the run. But does it matter? When only one runner has topped 55 rushing yards at Soldier Field in 2 years. Think about that. 55 is not even a high watermark. I mean, that's nothing. And only one runner has topped 55 in 2 years at Soldier Field. They've allowed 2 rushing touchdowns in their last 13 home games. It's a brutal matchup for Dalvin Cook. I give him a B out of respect for how the Vikings are using him and the sheer volume I expect him to have in this game. Kirk Cousins is on the bench. Minnesota has the NFL's lowest volume passing game by a mile, just 21 passes per game. The next closest is 28, but the Bears see the 3rd most passes in part because they're so hard to run on. So maybe volume won't be the problem here. What might be the problem is that the Bears have the number one pass rush by Pro Football Focus, and the Vikings have the 31st ranked pass block by Pro Football Focus. That's not good. There will not be a lot of long passes for Kirk to set up here because he's not going to have time for them. It's going to be a lot of short stuff, and that usually does not help fantasy owners very much. Stephon Diggs, just a C grade. He runs 77% of his snaps on the outside, so that gives him the toughest matchups on the field. Prince Amukamara, and especially Kyle Fuller, who is really good. Diggs has been very lightly targeted and has a 1-catch game, a 2-catch game, and a 3-catch game so far this year, and that's it. Even with an uptick in targets, it might not matter considering Kyle Fuller is going to be on him for a lot of this one. Adam Thielen works the slot, and if the Vikings have any sense, they're going to run at Buster Screen in the slot, especially with Chad Beebe, their normal slot receiver out. I like Thielen, and they should use Thielen copiously here. I've got a B grade on him because he's got, like I said, he draws the easiest matchup there is on the field against the Bears. Buster Screen. Kyle Rudolph is on the bench. He'll continue to stay in and block because I think he's going to have to here. The Chicago Bears have got awesome edge rushers, and I think that's going to force Rudolph to stay back at the line of scrimmage for most of this game. On the Bears side, I've only got 2 starters for you. We start with David Montgomery. Now, there is some good news here for Montgomery owners. He got 13 of Chicago's 18 running back carries last week, so he's starting to get the majority of the work. His yards per carry is increased in every game, and he ran for 5 yards per carry last week against a terrible Washington defense. The Vikings are normally an elite level run defense, but this year they've been softer. Aaron Jones put up a good game 2 weeks ago. They're giving up 4.5 yards per carry, and that's just middle of the NFL. So David Montgomery could get a little something done. He's got a C grade here, as does Allen Robinson, averaging 9 targets per game, so the volume is there. Unfortunately, it's Mitch Trubisky dealing that volume, but nevertheless, hopefully he can get a little something done here. Robinson has struggled in this divisional matchup in the past, just 2 catches and 28 yards in the 2 meetings last year, and he'll get a lot of Xavier Rhodes, but maybe through just volume, Allen Robinson can get a little something done here. C grade on him. I've got Trubisky on the bench. He's an easily flustered quarterback going up against a Mike Zimmer defense. Bad things are going to happen here. And he only put up 165 yards and 163 yards against Minnesota last year. Just one passing touchdown between the two matchups. Jeez. Taylor Gabriel's hurt. Don't chase his touchdowns from last week. And he draws Trey Waynes in a speed versus speed matchup if he does play. And then Tariq Cohen. Vikings have allowed one running back touchdown in their last 11 games. Only one has topped 34 yards in their last 11 games.
Jeez.
Bad matchup for Tariq Cohen as well. We're not going to try rolling the dice on that one.
I've seen Cohen on some waiver wires already.
I don't blame him. He runs you for nothing. He gets you nothing on the ground, and then you just got to hope that you get something that you can work with through the air. Final matchup of this segment: Scott, Washington taking on the Giants, two of the worst defenses in the NFL facing each other here.
Right. The Case Keenum was one of my take a chance on me players, and so was Adrian Peterson.
Yeah.
So let's
stay. What's left?
Yeah, exactly. At the run game, I don't think we have Chris Thompson left. He's on the bench under 10 touches a game, and I said I think it's a Peterson game.
Yeah, I do too.
In the passing game, it sounds like Terry McLaurin is going to go. He did not practice Friday. Reports are it was precautionary. If he does go, I like him in this one.
Yeah.
Obviously, it's a great matchup. He has touchdowns in three straight, 62 or more yards in three straight, five catches or more in three straight. The only team worse than Washington against wide receiver is the Giants, who he's playing against.
Right.
So,
what do you think about the depth receiver? Is Paul Richardson interest
exactly.
you? Does Trey Quinn interest you in this one?
This is my what-if scenarios. I have Richardson with a C. He's scored in two straight, second in the team in reception, snaps, etc. I have him with a C grade if McLaurin doesn't go. If McLaurin does go. If he doesn't go, I'm starting both Richardson and Quinn.
Yeah.
Quinn will be against Grant Haley, who's allowing 77% of his passes that direction to be caught.
Yeah.
And four touchdowns are allowed already in three games.
That's unbelievable.
That's a good matchup from Trey Quinn.
Most cornerbacks in the NFL give up four touchdowns all year.
Yeah.
Grant Haley's given up four in three games.
Yep, exactly. Quinn, second in targets, third in reception. I mean, he's startable if McLaurin doesn't go. Mm-hmm. I'd be a little more hesitant if McLaurin does go. On the other side there, we got Daniel Jones, Danny Dimes. I think he's very startable again here.
Yeah.
A grade. He was almost my take-home last week, but he wasn't in my matchup, so I didn't do him. I think Matt did last week.
Yeah.
Daniel Jones, A grade here. It's already a great matchup. The Washington's allowed three straight quarterbacks to throw three touchdown passes or more, and two of those top 300 yards. Dak even had 69 yards rushing against them, and Danny can run. Shepard, I like Sterling Shepard and as an A grade here too. Washington's already allowed eight wide receiver touchdowns in 3 weeks. He's had at least six receptions and at least seven targets in each of the two games played. 95% snaps in both. Last week, his only week with Daniel Jones, 100 yards and a touchdown. And he's going to be matched up against a seventh-round rookie, Jimmy Moreland, who's allowed 11 of the 12 passes his way to be completed. So that's a good matchup there for Sterling Shepard. Evan Engram, A grade. Washington's been stingy against tight ends over the last year and a half or so, but the two tight ends that have actually performed against them, Evan Engram and Zach Ertz.
All right. They're good.
Yes. So based on what Evan Engram's done this year so far, averaging 10 targets a game, 8 catches a game, what he did last week with Danny Dimes, I'm still giving him an A grade. I have a C grade on Gallman just on volume. I don't think he's very good. He hasn't been very good. Mm-hmm. Mobile quarterbacks can open it up a little bit for running backs. I'm only giving him a C grade because he might get 15 touches.
Sell at all costs if he has a good game.
Yeah, this
to
might
anyone,
be,
yeah,
this might
anyone
be your
with a slight hint of being a sucker in your league. Sell Gallman to them.
Yeah, I think you're onto something with that. The Thursday night game, Jordan Howard with the big three touchdown explosion, and honestly looked pretty good for a lot of that game.
He did.
And Sanders looked pretty good too. But do you think that this is a sell high moment for Jordan Howard, or are you just happy you got him?
Oh, I'd sell high.
Yeah,
I'd absolutely sell high.
Sell high on this one?
Yeah.
Yeah. He's obviously not going to get three. Probably get three in a game all year.
You seek out the Miles Sanders owner because he's panicking right now.
Yeah.
That's your best chance to sell Howard high is finding the Sanders owner who's freaking out.
I like that angle, and that's the kind of questions we've got coming up next when we answer three tough questions. You can play along. Try to go a perfect 3-0 against our panel of experts. Can you go 3-0? Fantasy Football Weekly returns. Fantasy Football Weekly. I'm Paul Charchian, fanball.com. Scott Fish and Brian Johnson with me. Boys, it's time to get into the grinder with three tough questions. Listeners, you can play along. See if you can go 3-0. I'll dole out the questions. They'll try to answer. I'll give the correct answers, beginning with
tough question number one.
Kerryon Johnson is getting plenty of use, but not necessarily a lot of results. Going forward, is he an RB1, an RB2, flex or bench player? Brian.
Well, let's just talk about Kerryon. He is currently around RB24 most formats, which puts him in flex territory. But the usage suggests otherwise. He's ninth in carries among all running backs, which is very encouraging. He also leads Detroit running backs in catches and receiving yards. He also has scored a receiving touchdown. The team recently cut C.J. Anderson. He's long gone. Mm-hmm. Ty Johnson will factor in on third down and spell him every now and again, but we all know Daryl Bevel loves to pound the rock. You've preached that all summer, Charch, and Detroit is hovering around 30 rush attempts per game.
And, 29.5.
29.5, and they do have some plus matchups coming up. Shootout on the horizon with the Chiefs this week. They get Green Bay next week. Jordan Howard just blomped a hat trick on the on the Packers. Then the Vikings, that's a tough matchup, of course, but then the Giants and Oakland. So
yeah,
right there, that's
juicy.
like a good enough stretch to finish as a flex player and not play any more games for the rest of the year. Of course, it'll be Chicago sprinkled in twice and the Vikings again, but long story short, the usage should stay consistent if he stays healthy. I'm going RB2.
Okay.
I'm also going RB2. His snaps went from the mid-50s until this release of C.J. Anderson when it went up to 75% of the snaps played. Mm-hmm. He also had 16.5 touches per game without C.J., 21 last week. He didn't do a lot with it, but it was against a very good Eagles run defense who haven't allowed a runner over 45 rushing yards this season. If the 20-touch thing continues, he's easily going to be an RB2.
So RB2 is your answer.
Sure.
All right, you guys hit on some of the salient points, but not all of them. Did you know he's faced more 8-man boxes than any runner? And I think he's been, as much as anything, the victim of the schedule. All four of the Lions' opponents, including this week, the Chiefs, are particularly weak against the pass. I mean, the way you beat all four of the opponents they've had is you throw the ball on them first and foremost. And so I think at time we're going to see the game plan swing more his way with better opportunities for the running game. Keep in mind, Kerryon Johnson averaged 5 yards per carry as a rookie.
Mm-hmm.
He's a good runner who just hasn't had breaks with the schedule, the game mix, the way things have gone so far. And with C.J. Anderson out of the mix, to Brian's point earlier, and these incredibly easy matchups, he's going to get an A grade almost every week for the next 6 weeks. It's going to be an RB1 level starting status for Kerryon Johnson.
Keeping the faith.
Keeping the faith.
Tough question number two.
Sony Walkman Michelle, averaging 1 yard per carry in two of his three games. Going forward, is Walkman an RB1, an RB2, a flex, or a bench player? Scott.
This might be a little contrarian, but I might be going all the way to bench. I hate doing the New England backfield thing anyway, mm-hmm. but this performance has been just bad. I know that on Friday, Bill Belichick gave him like a little vote of confidence and spoke nicely about him. He's doing what we ask him to, etc. But even with Devlin on IR and Burkhead questionable, Burkhead and James White are both just better at both ends of the game right now, and they did draft Damian Harris, who hasn't gotten an opportunity yet. I don't want to predict this offense at all, and I think that fantasy-wise, it's going to be very split going forward. He's going to be tough to figure out. I think he's a bench player.
All right.
Yep.
So he's got Sony, Walkman, Michelle's a bench. How about you, Brian?
Yeah, we can call him Benchman, I guess, because I got him on the bench, too. And you're like, well, at least he'll play Miami one more time, right? Yeah, he will in Week 17. Sorry, you don't even get that game, Sony owners. I don't have much else to add other than New England already has two devastating blows to their offensive line. Their starting center and right tackle, I believe, are already on IR.
Yep.
And, you know, it's just always been a muddled mess. I mean, Brandon Bolden is still actually a thing in New England, too. You just can never...
He's on roster?
I believe so.
Yeah,
wow.
He's been getting snaps.
He's getting snaps.
Special teams ace. I know that's his bit, but still.
And, I mean, Rex Burkhead just looks better, and the only thing that might be going in Michelle's favor is Burkhead has only played 18 games over the last two seasons, hasn't proved to be entirely durable, but no one's rooting for injury there. But no, he's not the best running back on the team, so he's just a bench player. Don't even worry about him every week. You don't want to put yourself through that. Just put him on the bench, and you'll be fine.
So his lack of productivity for Sony, Walkman, Michelle, has been masked. Fantasy productivity has been masked, I think, and NFL productivity has been masked by the two touchdowns for fantasy owners, mm-hmm. right? So the two touchdowns give you this false sense that Michelle's okay. Clearly, he's not. In fact, without those two touchdowns, I ran some estimates about where his scoring would be minus the two touchdowns.
I'm just picturing you with like glasses, a calculator, the whole deal.
He'd be running back 532.
Jeez.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
That's not.
It's really bad. Look, he just doesn't pass the eye test. Sony Michel's slow. He's tentative. The offensive line's a wreck, as you guys mentioned. You know, fortunately, he's bailed out by those awesome pass catching ability.
He doesn't
catch any passes either.
Another area Damon Harris is better.
This is where I was ready to give him the bench grade, but then there's the schedule. After Buffalo this week, you get Washington and the Giants. Are you seriously telling me against Washington or the Giants, a guy who gets the vast majority of the carries?
He gets a lot of the goal line stuff.
And virtually all the goal line carries is not going to get a starter's grade?
Yeah, he will.
He is.
He will.
And he doesn't fumble. He's on the field a ton, or at least so far. He hasn't been benched yet. Frankly, I would bench him, but I don't think Belichick's ready to yet. And because he's going to have starting grades over the course of the better part of the next month, Sony, Walkman, Michelle is a flex player.
Tough question number three.
With Melvin Gordon back, going forward, is Austin Eckler an RB1, an RB2, a flex or a bench? You may have noticed a theme riding through this particular edition of Three Tough Questions. Brian, is Austin Eckler an RB1, RB2, flex or bench?
This is a very tough question. Real quick, Eckler's snaps have gone down as the season has started, by the way. 75% to 73% to 65%. That was already discouraging before the Melvin Gordon news that he's coming back. So Gordon's coming back, as we all know, not this week, or it could be this week. We'll talk more about this game, but it'll be a very limited role, of course. But you would have to assume it's going to be 2 to 3 weeks before Gordon gets up to full speed, if ever. I mean, missing training camp is not an ideal scenario for any football player. After this week against Miami, Eckler could put up enough points to finish as a flex without playing any more games too. But let's just look at last year. In the games, Gordon and Eckler were both active. Gordon was about 70% of the snap share. Eckler was 30%. And Eckler was a flex play a lot of weeks.
Yeah.
And back then, the Chargers had Tyrell Williams. They had Antonio Gates. They didn't have Hunter Henry.
Mm-hmm.
But they're just short on playmakers, way more short than they were last year. So I think Eckler will find his way on the field a lot more with the injuries to wide receiver. Mike Williams is consistently banged up. So I'm going to say he maintains flex. He's going to be RB2 for a while, RB1 to RB2, then to a plateau of flex. So I'm just going to say flex.
Flex is your answer here. Okay, all right. Scott.
I also went with flex. Melvin Gordon has a very extreme history of getting injured near the end of the season. Now, maybe this short season will aid that, or maybe he will not be in quite the same shape and it'll hurt it and he'll get injured again. But his points already are getting him up in that area. I think he's still going to take snaps, but here's my main concern with having Eckler any higher. I think they run the wheels off Gordon now, because they're not going to keep him later. that's my thought process. So I'm hesitant to even say flex. But you get him for one more RB1 week, and then it's going to be rough going the rest of the season.
You, my friend, have cracked the code. You're exactly right. Gordon's going to be a free agent at the end of this year. Chargers know they're not bringing him back.
Right.
They are going to run him into the ground. He's going to get the DeMarco Murray treatment. Remember when DeMarco Murray was charging the free agency with Dallas?
Yep.
Dallas ran him into the ground and sent him packing. That's what's going to happen here with Melvin Gordon. Austin Eckler, look, as the number one back, he's been great.
Yep.
But that's not going to matter here. Melvin Gordon's going to take over as the number one back, and then he's going to be great. I believe that we are going to see Austin Eckler as no more than a flex play the rest of the year, which is sad for his owners. I hope you enjoyed it while it lasted. You got four great games out of Austin Eckler. You're going to get one coming this weekend. And after that, it's kind of over.
At the price you got him, you're happy.
Yeah,
you
I think you're
happy.
Right. He's probably powered you to 3-0 or 2-1 right now.
Yeah.
Because Eckler was so good just with that alone.
So do you go to the owner in your league that's 0-3 and they just have to win? and you just say, hey,
here's a win.
Yeah, here's
I'm giving you a win. It's a great strategy. It is. I'm giving you the win you need to have a prayer at the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
So give me somebody good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Try to sell them before this game.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Agreed. If we have time at the end of the show, I'm going to ask you guys about some strategies on Saquon Barkley and what to do with him if you're thinking about trade, if you've got him and you need to get rid of him, or if you're thinking about acquiring him. Brian, let's turn to the Tennessee matchup. You already told us that you kind of like some elements in the passing game for Tennessee, but I want to shift to Derrick Henry, who feels like a mortal lock in this game.
Yeah, he is. I'm gonna give him an A, even though he probably should get a B. He has out-touched Deion Lewis 55-14 to this point, so he's the clear alpha back on roster. He even has more targets than Deion Lewis.
Are you serious?
Yes. Yeah, so
wow.
we're not even gonna talk about Deion anymore. No. He's on the bench in this game. Back to Henry, though, this could be a tough matchup on the ground. Dalvin Cook shredded the Falcons on the ground, but after that, they held the Eagles and Colts backs to 3.1 yards per carry over the last 2 weeks. And, you know, the Falcons used to always give up catches and bunches to running backs, but mm-hmm. not so far this year, really. No lone back has topped 3 receptions, and Nyheim Hines is the only running back to top 15 receiving yards with, like, 24. So they're not giving up a ton through the air, but I'm still giving Henry an A.
He's an A. Other two workhorse backs that have faced Atlanta, Dalvin Cook, Marlon Mack, giant games. I think they may have each scored twice. They got 3 between them, I believe. So I see another big game coming for Derrick Henry. I like him more than you do.
I just get nervous when I have so much confidence in Derrick Henry.
Yeah, that is true. Every time you think you're going to be okay.
I have a lot of confidence in Delanie Walker, too. The Falcons have allowed a combined 17 tight end receptions over the last 2 weeks. And again, they lost starting safety Keanu Neal, which bodes very well for Delanie Walker. Is an easy start this week in the tight end wasteland. Probably more like an A, but you're starting him either way. You are not starting Corey Davis and A.J. Brown. They've combined for 13 catches all season long.
That's it.
Unbelievable.
Remember when A.J. Brown was a thing in week one?
Yeah, that was one long catch, though. He had 3 for 100. It was just like one fluky long catch. The wide receiver you want to start for Tennessee is Adam Humphries, who was my take-a-chance-on-me wide receiver, and Marcus Mariota was my take-a-chance-on-me quarterback. Heaven help me, I'm going Batman and Robin with the Titans, but I like them both in this matchup on the fast turf. Over to Atlanta, Julio Jones, easy A, has scored in 7 straight and has 12 total touchdowns over his last 12 games going back to last season. Not going to justify that start anymore.
Mm-mm.
Calvin Ridley gets a B, came down to earth last week, but a great spot for a bounce back game, especially considering Dirk Koetter said Ridley could see the squeaky wheel treatment this week. We always
that. Yes. Was there some squeaking that I didn't hear about?
I guess he was being a little squeaky behind the wheels,
really?
Or maybe he misunderstood the squeaky wheel treatment.
Yeah, maybe
Ridley
he doesn't know what that means.
He heard the wheels in Ridley's head, but I doubt Ridley was outspoken about it, really. But
right.
Outside corners, Malcolm Butler and Adoree Jackson, both allow a quarterback rating north of 100. They are not that great. Who is pretty good is Logan Ryan, the slot corner for the Titans. So Mohamed Sanu is on the bench, but Austin Hooper is not. He's basically a top 5 tight end right now. And the Titans have not fared well against tight ends this year. 4 catches, 37 yards, and a touchdown to the Browns tight ends. 5, 46-1 to the Colts tight ends. And 3, 26-1 to the Jaguars tight ends last week. So touchdowns in every game. Gotta like Hooper. And you gotta like Matt Ryan with Julio, Ridley, and Hooper getting very positive grades. Not going to go too deep into that one.
Yeah, but if we like all those receivers, obviously we like Matt Ryan.
Yep, but we do not like Devonta Freeman. So Ito Smith might not play.
I don't think he's going to.
With a concussion. So let's assume he doesn't. I'm still giving Freeman the C. After allowing just 7 rushing touchdowns to running backs last year, Tennessee still dominant against the run.
Yeah.
Running backs have just scored once on the ground so far. Marlon Mack had only 51 yards on 20 carries. Leonard Fournette, 66 yards on 15 carries. One of those carries went for 69 yards.
Right, exactly. It was negative the rest of the game.
You know what? I'm benching Devonta Freeman. I've changed my mind. I don't care if Ito's out. He's on the bench. Play T.J. Yeldon. Boom.
Every week, you can play the Crush Charge Championship for free at fanball.com. When you assemble a better salary cap team than mine, you get a shot at this week's prize pool of $1,000. But more importantly, beating me is the only way you get an entry into our Week 17 championship game, where you'll battle me for $10,000. Go to fanball.com/charge. We'll be back in moments with more of the matchups you need to set your lineup, including Kansas City, what to do with Darrell Williams, LeSean McCoy. We'll tell you when we come back to Fantasy Football Weekly. is a regular season edition of Fantasy Football Weekly. We are breaking down each of Sunday and Monday's NFL games, fantasy style, put letter grades on every player, explain who we like, who we don't like, the rationale, all of that stuff. And if you missed anything in any other part of this show, you can get all my player rankings for free by going to fanball.com/charch. Let's talk about the first indoor game for Patrick Mahomes since entering the NFL.
Since college.
Yeah.
His last one, he had like 600 yards and six touchdowns.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
Texas Tech, what are you going to do?
Yeah. He's at Detroit for this one. And Mahomes and Kelsey are auto starts. They're obvious A's. Let's drill down on some of the trickier starts in this matchup. And we'll stay with the passing game where Sammy Watkins gets a B. He's commanding a massive 28% target share. And that's really critical to understand as this passing game still largely goes through Sammy Watkins. And I know he's been mostly disappointing since week one, and you didn't even start him in week one in all probability for many of you. Nevertheless, this is a nice matchup. He runs 46% of his snaps from the slot, and the Lions cornerback, Justin Coleman, was just eviscerated by two scores by Nelson Aguilar. And he's yielded three scores on the season. So I think this is a very good opportunity for Sammy Watkins to bounce back to something closer to what we saw in week one. He is a B grade. Mecole Hardman, with all that speed on the fast surface indoors against Detroit, I like him. He also runs the majority of his runs from the slot. He can also attack Justin Coleman if he's got Coleman on his side. And so this is another good opportunity for him. He's averaging 50 snaps a game, Mecole Hardman. He's on the field a ton. Plenty of opportunities to score. I like him to bring in a long touchdown in this game. Then there's DeMarcus Robinson. He is at plays on the outside, so that means he's going for the Slay ride this week. It's Darius Slay, who's been very good as usual. He's allowing just 52% of the passes in his coverage to be completed. And the other outside corner, Rashawn Melvin's also been really good. So DeMarcus Robinson, just a C grade here. And honestly, if it were any other offense and any other quarterback, I'd probably tell you to bench him.
Just a reminder, Darius Slay is questionable. So.
Yeah, so we'll watch his stats.
Keep an eye on that if you have DeMarcus.
Now, if Slay doesn't go, we'll knock DeMarcus Robinson up to a B grade, but he's a C as it stands at the moment. Let's go to the running game. LeSean McCoy, the Lions giving up 170 total yards per game to opposing running backs. They're allowing a score in every game this year. Even the moribund Eagles carousel of backs put up 163 yards and a score in Detroit. So there's plenty to go around here. Even if LeSean McCoy is stuck in a timeshare with Darrell Williams, which he probably is, McCoy gets a B. So does Darrell Williams for many of the same reasons here. And last week, he got more snaps than McCoy. He's healthier than McCoy. He got more carries than McCoy, more targets, more receptions. So Darrell Williams might even be the better play than McCoy. And if at some point McCoy's ankle injury ends up being a bigger problem, then who knows? Oh, so McCoy might hit the bench. So I think I prefer Darryl McCoy, although I give them both Bs. Let's go to the Detroit side. We spent a lot of time talking about Kerryon Johnson a little bit ago. He's getting just 2.6 yards per carry, which is deflating. And he's topped 51 rushing yards just once in the last seven games. But the Chiefs were just mauled by Mark Ingram and Gus Edwards for 156 yards and three scores. And Kansas City has allowed a touchdown to an opposing runner in 22 of their last 29 games.
Jeez.
That is what we call a trend. So I think Kerryon Johnson finds a way to be productive here, and he gets a B grade. Let's go to the passing game. Matthew Stafford with a B grade. The Chiefs secondary has stymied two straight quarterbacks, which is impressive, but they were facing two very thin sets of receivers in Oakland and Baltimore. Lions have got far better receivers. Averaging just 32 attempts in regulation, Matthew Stafford, his volume has been a concern here, but I think that won't be a problem against the Chiefs offense because you got to pass to keep up with the Chiefs, right? So I like Stafford, I like Golladay, and I like Marvin Jones, who was my take a chance on me wide receiver. Let's talk about Kenny Golladay, who also gets a B in this one. He will go up against Chiefs corner Charvarius Ward the most, and Ward's giving up 3 inches and 20 pounds to Golladay, who's a big dude. And he's giving up a 67% completion rate through three games. So I like Golladay here at a B level. Then there's TJ Hockenson, who's frustrated a lot of people. But guys, last week, touchdown call back and penalty. And dropped touchdown pass for TJ Hockenson. Let's not give up on the rookie quite yet. The Chiefs have allowed the most receptions to opposing tight ends, the fourth most yards to opposing tight ends. TJ Hockenson can turn it around here. Chiefs are a bottom half defense in yards per reception allowed to tight ends. So we roll all that together. I think we can go to war with TJ Hockenson one more time. Let's see what happens.
So I have Will Disley and Hockenson in a two tight end league with you, Charge. But I have Darren Waller, who's obviously an auto start. But I've played the wrong guy between Disley and Hockenson every week this season.
I bet. You got to go Disley this week.
But now I'm thinking Hockenson.
Really?
But I don't charge. Well, maybe I sit Waller. No, we'll talk about him.
I don't think you can.
No.
All right. Let's go back to the matchup. Seattle taking on Arizona. Scott, you want to start with Will Disley?
Sure.
Since we're talking tight ends and we're talking Will Disley, we never start a matchup with Disley talk.
No.
Tight end talk.
No.
Let's do it.
Here's my take a chance on me player. Arizona is terrible against tight ends. The Giants that gave up a touchdown every week 2 years ago, they just transferred it to Arizona
there
for this year, apparently.
Yes.
In that passing game, though, Arizona's terrible against the pass in general right now with Patrick Peterson and Robert Alford still both out. So I'm giving Wilson an A grade here. The Seahawks are normally very run-heavy, but they're passing a lot more. Wilson's on pace for 550, 560 pass attempts this year at this point.
Yeah,
he had 50 last week, averaging over 300 yards per game. The Cards allowing the third most passing yards, second most passing touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
Gave Kyle Allen a career game. So
yeah,
I'm loving the passing game. Tyler Lockett, A grade as well. He had never had double-digit targets in his career before this year. He's had double-digit receptions in two straight games.
Tyler Lockett, baby. He's my number one ranked wide receiver this week.
I don't blame you. DK Metcalf seems to find his way to a big play every week. I think this is a matchup. It happens again. B grade for him. Carson, I'm giving a C grade. I think Penny's going to be out again. He only saw 15 touches last week with Penny out. I think that's probably about what he'll see this week because I think it's going to be more of an aerial game. On the Arizona side, Kyler Murray, I am giving an A grade too.
What?
No, B grade. Right.
Okay.
I just wanted to see your face if I gave him an A grade. That's why I paused. I'm giving him a B grade too. The Seahawks have allowed multiple touchdown passes in every game every week this year.
Mm-hmm.
Significantly fewer yards though, and part of that is because they had faced Mason Rudolph and Teddy Bridgewater. Kyler Murray averages 15 more attempts per game than those two combined for against the Seahawks. So he's going to pass it. He passes over 40 times a game. He's going to get some yards.
I think he's the NFL's leading passer by attempts.
I wouldn't doubt it. They're leading in plays per game by like 10 or something.
Wow.
It's crazy. Dalton had a bunch of garbage time. I think Murray can get that here. Fitzgerald and Kirk, I'm giving Fitzgerald an A grade and Kirk a B grade. Here's why. They picked up Jamar Taylor after week two. He's going to get Fitzgerald.
Mm-hmm.
The Seattle's two starting safeties are likely out as well.
Jeez.
And when the Cardinals go four wide, they're really going to spread Seattle thin in the secondary.
And they go four wide all the time.
All the time.
Their two leading receivers, Fitzgerald and Kirk, are both slot receivers.
Exactly. So with Kyler Murray having 60% of his targets go to the slot, I like both of them. A and a B grade there. DJ and David Johnson, B grade here. Seattle's allowing fewer than 60 yards rushing per game to, and they faced Mixon and Connor and Kamara, some good backs, but Bernard and Kamara were able to add 6+ receptions each and some good games there. I think David Johnson might get that there, even though Murray hasn't been passing to him a whole lot. I think that he might get that passing game work in this one.
All right, that makes sense. Tampa takes on the LA Rams. Brian, I already told you I like Ronald Jones, but wouldn't be surprised if we had a decent game from Peyton Barber in this one as well. Rams are a very good pass defense and a lukewarm run defense. Jameis Winston, though, coming, and Mike Evans coming off the gigantic game last week. What do you make of this one?
So this is, I have to give a shout out to Mike Tagliere. Did I say that right, Scott? Tagliere?
You did.
Tagliere.
Who brought to light the splits since the beginning of last season when Aqib Talib plays and when he does not play.
There's huge differences.
In the 11 games with Aqib Talib on the field, the Rams are allowing 210 passing yards per game and 0.7 touchdowns and 1.4 interceptions.
Yeah.
8 games without, 300 passing yards, 2.9 touchdowns, and under an interception per game.
Yeah.
Aqib Talib's playing. So Jameis Winston is on the bench for me in this game. And Mike Evans is not on the bench, but don't expect a big game from Evans like he had last week.
Unlikely.
Opposing number one wide receivers have been serviceable against the Rams. DJ Moore, 7 catches for 76. Michael Thomas, 10 for 89. Beckham had 6 for 56. None scored. That's kind of the ceiling you're looking at with Evans in this game. So he gets a B. And those wide receivers combined for 32 targets, by the way. Mm-hmm. That's a lot of targets and not a ton of production or touchdowns. Chris Godwin, going to give him a C. He will play. There was some concern with a hip injury, but he returned to practice on Friday, so he should be good to go. But number two wide receivers have fared far worse than the number ones. And if you want to say Godwin's the number one and Evans isn't, then there's your argument. But I like Evans more than Godwin in this game.
Godwin's questionable, too.
So. He is questionable, but I think he will play. But re-aggravating that injury is also a concern, so just a C for him this week. O.J. Howard, he's on the bench for me this week. Did show signs of life last week with 66 yards. But that was against the Giants. The Rams defense is much better than the Giants defense.
Yeah.
Opposing tight ends have been shut down against LA, totaling just 77 yards on 8 catches all year long. OJ is going to be doing a ton of blocking in this game, not a lot of pass catching. Peyton Barber, I have on the bench. He was outtouched by Ronald Jones last week. And Dario Ogunbowale has also eaten into his playing time. And FYI, Ogunbowale has run more pass routes than Barber and Jones combined this season.
All right.
That doesn't surprise me. Far better pass catcher.
And the Rams should jump out to an early lead in this one. So the game script is just not in Barber's favor in this one. Ronald Jones is your take a chance on me running back, Church.
Yep.
I will stand by you with that one.
Okay. I would give him a C grade.
I'll give him a C grade. And Ogunbowale on the bench as well. Over to the Rams side, Todd Gurley, begrudgingly, I'll give him a B. He's only averaged 3.5 yards per carry over the last 2 weeks, and those have been pretty good matchups.
Yeah.
He hasn't topped 20 touches yet. He has just 8 receiving yards on 6 targets. And Tampa Bay's secondary is so bad, they're practically funneling the opposition to the pass.
Yeah.
They're just like, here, go ahead. The opponents are passing nearly 70% of the time against Tampa Bay.
Unbelievable.
And, you know, Malcolm Brown is a factor, even though he's on the bench in this one, because it's all about the passing game for me. But I'll give him Gurley a B on name brand, but don't be surprised with the C-level production.
I think he might chip in some receptions that will help.
That certainly would help his cause. Who will chip in receptions are the wide receivers. I'm not going to go too deep into this one. They're all premium starts. I'll just say really quick, preseason, it was Robert Woods, Brandon Cooks, Cooper Kupp in that order, right?
Now it's Cup number one.
Cooks stays in the middle and Woods at the bottom. I know Fish and I were way off Cup. I was way wrong there. I'm sorry, Cooper.
I loved Cup last year. I did not have faith he'd be able to come back from that injury.
We all liked Cup, but I think we weren't sure about the injury. Yeah. And just was he going to miss? Was it going to take him a month to ramp up?
For a fifth round pick, answer, that was my problem.
Yeah. By the way, Cup's my number three wide receiver this week. Yeah.
He gets the A.
He's a top five wide receiver right now.
He gets an easy A. Cooks, Woods, solid Bs. And then Jared Goff gets an A. He's the new Drew Brees and Ben Roethlisberger when it comes to home road splits. This game is at home. We also what Dan Jones did to the Bucks last week. And this one stat per Sports Info Solutions that I got via Evan Silva. Goff has a 17-2 touchdown to interception ratio versus man coverage compared to 14-12 against zone. And Tampa Bay's defensive coordinator Todd Bowles is running man coverage at least at the fourth highest rate in the league right now. So
Todd Bowles? How about Bowles?
Bowles.
Bowles. I'm pretty sure it's not Todd Bowles.
Oh, that's great.
Have you never mispronounced a name on the show, Charge?
Well, never accidentally pronounced a name that would then turn a guy into a butt.
Well, maybe I did it on purpose as a joke.
Maybe.
I wish I did because it would have been funnier.
That probably would have been funnier. I think that was about it for that matchup anyway. Our final topics are ahead. When we provide you with three guys we believe will be hot waiver wire pickups next week that you can grab this week. It's our time machine edition that we like to call premature speculation. And it's happening next, whether you're ready for it or not. Fantasy Football Weekly. Weekly and iHeart. iHeartRadio production. Remember, all my player rankings available for free at fanball.com/charts. If you missed anything, a part of the show, it's a great way to recap all of the player information that you want to hear. Premature speculation is probably the most popular segment we have on this entire show, in which we try to identify players you want to pick up this week off the waiver wire that will be hot pickups next week. But blammo, they're already on your team. Blammo, we've decided, is the official sound of premature speculation. Guys, Brian, let's start with you. Upon whom are you premature speculating?
Jalen Richard. I feel like I always talk about Jalen Richard every year on the show.
I wish you'd stop.
Snap percentage has gone up from 16% in week one to 31% in week two to 49% last week. He actually outsnapped Josh Jacobs in a blowout loss to the Vikings, and that could very well happen again in Indianapolis this week. Actually, looking at the Raiders' schedule, they could get blown out in every week. It's not that too far-fetched, especially in their next five games following this week against Indy. They all look like scripts or games that will be scripted for Richard. Versus Chicago, then at Green Bay, at Houston, versus Detroit, a great run defense, and then versus the Chargers, another solid run defense. So running back usage is a trend you should watch, and Richard is trending up, so he'll be relevant in PPR leagues sooner than later, probably this week.
Okay.
A little bit of a boring pre-spec here from me, Charge.
Okay.
Golden Tate comes off his suspension. You might want to get him this week before people try to get him next week. Comes off his suspension after this week. That Giants team, they got Gallman running the ball, and they have not a lot of warm bodies at wide receiver. And Danny Dimes is dealing a little bit. Golden Tate, it's my priest.
I think Golden Tate's, reasonably competent fantasy leagues have already got him taken, but there's a lot of casual leagues out there that people aren't paying attention, and Golden Tate is going to hit the news like Tuesday of next week when he shows up for practice for the first time, and people are like, oh, it's going to Golden Tate's back, and you will already have him. Now, I have two premature speculations. One's not likely to be a scenario in your league, but if anybody drops Jimmy Garoppolo because of the bye week, go get him. He's gotten a lot better over the course of the 3 weeks. But I'm assuming he's gone in your league, and he's not going to be dropped. I'm going back to the guy I gave you in week one, Rashard Higgins, who unfortunately has been hurt ever since week one. And I know the Cleveland offense isn't going the right direction, but we're buying low, and you know, they lost David Njoku. They need another big, warm, big-bodied receiver. That's Rashard Higgins. They can't keep funneling everything to OBJ. I liked him then. I'm going to go back to the well now. He's available virtually every league. And you can get Rashard Higgins before he comes back and potentially has a good game. Although I don't think, even if he plays this week, and I don't think he does, he would have a good game here. But I still like Rashard Higgins long-term. Pick him up and play him. Let's go get into our final matchups, beginning with Dallas taking on the New Orleans Saints. Zeke is an obvious A because the Saints run defense, guys, so good last year and so not good this year. It's weird. They're giving up 5 yards per carry.
Ooh.
Last year, they were number one in the league at 3.5 yards per carry. That's a huge differential.
Remember last year, they were coming off the year where their pass defense was shut down. But then last year, the pass defense went to straight in the garbage. But yeah,
go figure.
Weird.
In three games, four backs have topped 50 yards against the Saints. Elliott leads the league in red zone rushing attempts and yards. He's an A grade. Dak Prescott, A grade. Another potential good game for him here. New Orleans has allowed 10 quarterback touchdowns. Only Miami has allowed more than 10. Four of those 10 on the ground to quarterbacks. They've given up a quarterback rushing touchdown in every game. The Saints have. Here comes Dak Prescott, one of the most mobile, fleet-footed quarterbacks out there. If he does not run you to fantasy victory, he could pass his way there for you, which brings me to Amari Cooper, who also gets an A grade. He should be able to play through an ankle injury. He's been arguably fantasy football's best wide receiver this year with touchdowns in every game. Saints cornerback Marshon Lattimore shadowed Cooper when these two met last season. Cooper went 8 targets, 8 receptions in that game. So far this year, Lattimore has allowed 341 yards in his coverage. That's worst in the league. Marshon Lattimore looked like he was one of the most promising young cornerbacks in the NFL 2 years ago. Now he's allowed the most yardage in the league. A grade for Amari Cooper. Let's talk about Randall Cobb. He was my take a chance on me wide receiver last week and had a 76-yard touchdown called back on penalty. I hate it when that happens.
So
he draws an exploitable matchup in the slot against P.J. Williams, who's a huge gambler. If P.J. Williams decides he's going to try to, you know, stretch out for an interception, doesn't get there, whatever. Randall Cobb startable in this game with a C grade. Jason Witten also a C grade here. The Saints just gave up 62 yards and a score to Will Dissly, but that's the most yards they'd allowed to the position in 2 years. Witten has scored in two of three games this year, and he's posted a solid 54 yards in the other one. Let's go to the Saints side. For the first time in I can't remember how long, I'm going to talk about two and the only two relevant Saints. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
It's Michael Thomas, who gets a B grade. Teddy Bridgewater's passing, even more discouraging.
You want to hear something terrible about his passing?
Well, let me go first and you go second.
Okay.
Did not throw a pass longer than 15 yards. He had 19 completed passes last week. Two of them were for more than 9 yards.
Jeez. Well, that makes sense with my stat. His average depth of target, like how far he throws it on average, 3.3 yards.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
It's staggering. So Michael Thomas can only get so much done.
I believe that was Mike Tagliere also. I like to credit him.
He needs some time. Teddy's still younger than Carson Wentz. Did you know that?
Is he really? Jeez.
Almost two years younger than Carson Wentz.
So back to Michael Thomas. Likely to struggle against a Cowboys secondary that's allowed the seventh fewest yards, just two touchdowns to wide receivers. He mostly runs on the outside, and that puts him on two very good cornerbacks, Byron Jones and Chidobe Awuzie. I think a B grade might be generous here, and I'm doing it mostly just on volume of catches. Then the only other guy to talk about for the Saints, of course, is Alvin Kamara, who's an A grade pretty much every week. And in his first full game with Teddy, he took 25 of the offense's 42 touches. He was 9 receptions, 92 receiving yards, and a air touchdown last week. That's his best in a year in basically all of those categories. And if we throw out the Dolphins, and I kind of wish the NFL would throw out the Dolphins, Dallas has allowed a rushing touchdown to backs in 5 straight games. So Alvin Kamara gets an A.
We were all wrong on Latavius Murray.
No, I wasn't.
Oh, were you?
I was totally off Latavius Murray.
Harrison was wrong on Latavius Murray. Yeah, used him as a sleeper.
Yes. No.
Sorry, Matt. Sorry.
Jacksonville at Denver. Scott, this is a game in which
football will be kind of played.
Somewhat. Yeah, you will. There will be a pigskin involved in this game. Leonard Fournette had negative yardage until he broke the 69-yard touchdown. Yep. Not touchdown, 69-yard run last week. And I would love it if you would just predict a negative yardage game here.
I cannot do that.
Okay.
I'm going to do the exact opposite of
really?
That.
Really? All right.
I'm giving Fournette an A grade here, honestly. He's had all but one of the Jaguars' running back touches. He's had at least 87 total yards in every game. I know that last week it took a huge run to get there. He hasn't exploded for a huge day yet, and he hasn't scored yet, but this Denver D has allowed some pretty big games. They've allowed touchdowns to running backs in every game, including two to Jacobs and two to Jones. I think that Fournette with his 19 to 25 touches a game finally gets off the schneid for not scoring.
This is a buy low opportunity on Fournette for sure. There's some frustrated owners out there.
In the passing game, I have Minshew on the bench. Denver is basically top four in almost every single category, and they faced Carr, Trubisky, Rodgers. Those three guys combined for two touchdowns and barely averaged over 200 yards. So he's on the bench. Chark, I'm giving him a C grade only for his connection with Minshew. He keeps scoring. He keeps getting decent yards. It's not a good matchup passing-wise, but Bryce Callahan and Kareem Jackson are unlikely to play, so the secondary is going to be a little light out there.
Yeah.
And they've been mostly burned by Tyrell Williams, Marquez Valdez-Scantling, speed guys.
Those are speed guys.
Like D.D. Westbrook is.
Yeah.
So I'm actually giving Westbrook a C grade on the option that he might get a big play. And if Chark gets a lot of Christopher Harris, I might not even want to play.
Well, that's
honestly
the problem.
That's
right?
The problem with Chark. I'm a little worried about Chark this week. On the other side, Flacco, I have on the bench, but all of his passes are going to two guys, basically. It's Sutton and it's Sanders.
And that's
and,
it.
And they're just barely getting enough to get C grades, mm-hmm. barely fantasy viable. Both of them are in the top five in red zone targets. They've combined for like 12 or 13 red zone targets together. So I like their options there. C grades on them. C grades on both Lindsay and Freeman. I actually kind of like both of them this week. Lindsay, because he gets good receiving work. He's averaging 19 touches per game. Freeman's averaging 14 touches per game. They're running this offense a lot through the running game. The Jaguars are mostly allowing rushing attempts, though. 23 rush attempts per game, 3 receptions per game. So if I had to choose, I might lean Freeman over Lindsay this week. And I'm not alone on that out there after I did my research on it. So, but both C grades.
All right, final matchup of the show, Tampa Bay taking on the L.A. Rams. We've already talked. I feel like...
No, we got to do Oakland, Indy.
Oakland, I apologize.
No worries.
Oakland, I was going to say, we've done this one. Oakland taking on Indy. Well, let's start with Josh Jacobs and what has been a pretty disappointing season after a promising week one.
All right, we'll start with Josh Jacobs, I
Thank
guess,
you.
The least exciting Raider to talk about. But I'm just giving him a C. John Gruden said they want to give him more targets, but I'll believe that when I see it. He has just 3 targets on the season.
Mm-hmm.
I'm worried he gets phased out again like he did last week against the Vikings as the Raiders supposedly, or we all assume they'll fall behind the Colts. So, and I mentioned this earlier, Jalen Richard outsnapped Josh Jacobs last week, and there's danger of that happening again in a tough matchup. So just to see for Jacobs, I don't have Richard with the starting grade, but he is my pre-spec. So, and if you are desperate in PPR, he is worth an add. To the passing game now. I know it's late in the show, but can you wake up that Peacock charge? Because
I would be happy. We have not had the Peacock yet all day.
It was the second show of the preseason. I mentioned as my sleeper, a virtually unknown guy named Darren Waller. Just go out and draft him. No one's drafting him. He had some potential this year. Yeah, he's got a lot of potential. He's living up to it. He gets an A in this one, basically demanding a third of Oakland's targets so far this year. The Colts will be without starting safety Malik Hooker, and they will be down a starting linebacker as well. I'm sorry, his name is slipping my mind at the moment. And Austin Hooper scored twice last week. So
Darren Waller. Excellent start.
Arguably tight end one. I would start him over Zach Ertz if it came down to it, if I had to, if I had them both on the same team. It's only
Zach
Engram
Ertz already
or Kelsey?
Played and didn't score. So
okay, I'm sorry.
Makes it
right. I would have done that.
Oh, okay,
anyway.
Sure. All right. Okay.
I promise I would have. I would have.
Yeah.
Tyrell Williams, going to give him a B. Keenan Allen had a big game against Indy. So Williams, really the only wide receiver with a warm body. 79 targets are a lock. Derek Carr on the bench, though, because he's Derek Carr. Over at the Colts, Marlon Mack. Easy A.
Yeah.
Oakland conceded 31 carries for 196 yards and 2 touchdowns to Minnesota backs last week. Mack had a minor injury scare with the calf, but he touched the ball 18 times last week against Atlanta. That's a very safe floor for touches in this game. T.Y. Hilton is listed as doubtful now with the quad. So you just got to.
And on Friday, they promoted Ashton Doolin from the practice squad.
Yeah, it's a bad sign for T.Y. Hilton.
So that brings Paris Campbell, Deion Kane, and Zach Pascal all into play.
What about Ashton Doolin? I'm a big Ashton Doolin fan.
And that
small school guy, but he's super athletic.
Yeah, let's go with him. I mean,
Paris Campbell is a good, sneaky play in this game.
I like Deion Kane more. It's really pick your poison. They all saw 3 targets last week.
Or Ashton Doolin.
Kane saw the most snaps. Pascal scored the touchdown. I don't know. My gut says Kane, but it's really a pick. These guys are going to, someone's going to have a good game. Maybe 2 of them, but who knows. And then Eric Ebron, a big bump with T.Y. Hilton out, mainly because T.Y. Hilton is second in red zone targets in the NFL right now.
Wow.
And that hurts Ebron, of course, but with Hilton out, it's a good spot for Ebron. It's a great matchup on paper. Teams targeting tight ends against the Raiders are 13 of 18 for 207 yards and a touchdown this season. And with all those positive plays in the passing game, that made Jacoby Brissett your take a chance on me quarterback.
Church. It is. Even without T.Y. Hilton, I still like Jacoby Brissett. I think he's sitting on a fine game, and I think he's actually sitting on a pretty good season the rest of the way. He's available in a lot of leagues. You may want to go snatch him up if you can. If you love the show, go to fanball.com/charge for my free player rankings, my free $1,000 weekly contest, guillotine leagues, all of our podcasts and more. And many thanks to everybody who takes the time to rank and review this show on your podcasting platform of choice. We very much appreciate that. Thank you for listening to Fantasy Football Weekly. Talk to you soon, everybody. Bye-bye. We'll be right back. Fantasy Football Weekly is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.